fellow patriots and church community. I am an American soldier. I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. These four statements are the warrior ethos. We are here today to honor the fourth tenet. I will never leave a fallen comrade. Although this certainly means to help those who are physically or emotionally wounded, I also believe it means to never leave the memory of those who died while serving and defending our beloved United States. I believe that the best way to celebrate Memorial Day is twofold. First, recognize those who have died for our country in order to defend America's independence and democracy. And second, live your life to the fullest so that their losses were not in vain. More than 1.3 million people have died serving the United States, spanning from the Revolutionary War through Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. And let's also recognize the 82,547 who remain missing in action. Perhaps you knew one or a few of these casualties. Or for the veterans, it's about the pieces of ourselves that we have lost. It may be a trick knee or a bad back that reminds you you're not as invincible as you used to be. Or is it a piece of your confidence, your soul, or even your faith that has torn or maybe just faded away? Each casualty has their own history, along with family and friends who mourn their loss. In a moment, I will tell you about five of my comrades. About 10 years ago, I was commander of a small Army Reserve Combat Stress Control unit based out of Madison, Wisconsin. Combat and operational stress units help service members adapt and cope with the normal reactions to very abnormal situations and circumstances. In short, we provide both proactive and reactive behavioral health care. In a deployed setting, we break into small teams to be available throughout a theater of operations. This allows us to know unit personnel and their missions before they need our help. My unit was tasked to go to Iraq in 2008. This was quite an endeavor because we had to find at least 50 additional soldiers with unique specialties. So we worked with other combat stress units in California, Missouri, and Washington to accomplish this. There were about 70 of us who trained together between fall 2008 and fall 2009. Our doctors were scheduled for abbreviated training later to eventually join us in theater. In September 2009, our unit was split into separate missions for Iraq and Afghanistan, but we stayed together for training purposes because we had similar missions. Our final training site was Fort Hood, Texas, and we arrived there on November 4th. On November 5th, we were all doing medical and administrative processing when a soldier unexpectedly opened fire, killing 13 and wounding 31. My five colleagues died that day, and 11 of the wounded were from our two small units. Nidal Hassan, at the time a major, was eventually convicted of this crime almost 4 years later in 2013. The aftermath in that building is not one I care to share with you. Yet, the night of the shooting, my soldiers came to me as a group and said that they thought we should still deploy because they did not want these losses to be in vain. We each began a state of shock and inconceivable grief. Understandably, the turmoil we experienced that day immediately flagged our mission. Could we still go? And would we still go? Imagine our horror when we learned that Major Hassan was a psychiatrist who would have been in our unit and would have joined us in Afghanistan. The memorial ceremony was a few days later, which was an opportunity to mourn and say goodbye, as it was not feasible for us to go to each soldier's funeral. During the ceremony, one speaker quoted Isaiah 6:8 from the Bible, Who will go for us? Send me. Over the next few weeks, we grieved, yet continued to train. Only 3 weeks later, after the incident, we were authorized to deploy, but were only able to do so with intense backing from military channels, continuous interpersonal support, and an outpouring of concern and support from the community, family, and friends. One example of this was a donation from Chris Greta, an Austin, Texas businessman, who helped us create and then donated our hero bracelets for our unit members and the family of those who died and were injured. Another example of this was a fulfilled order of camo quilts, which we're holding in the picture. These had been requested by Amy Krueger that fall. They were able to deliver them to us in Texas just in time, thanks to a Johnsonville Brat semi driver from Sheboygan Falls, who added them to his load. I'll now tell you a few things about those five extraordinary soldiers who died on the 5th of November. Staff Sergeant Amy Krueger was from Kiel, Wisconsin, and studied psychology at UW-Whitewater. Amy was a mental health specialist who volunteered to transfer from her Milwaukee unit in order to serve on our mission. She was a leader with an admirable combination of intelligence, empathy, and enthusiasm. Amy had a spark and a sense of humor that made her a joy to be around. Captain Russell Seeger was a psychiatric nurse practitioner from Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin. He was a Marquette graduate, worked at the Milwaukee VA, and also taught at Bryant and Stratton College. Russ joined the military later in life, after 9/11. He had a deep loyalty and dedication to our unit and mission. He gladly drove all the way to Madison just to join us for the Memorial Day parade, where this picture was taken. In fact, I think that's a polka dancer in the back. He loved teaching and looked forward to serving soldiers in need. Captain John Gaffney was a psychiatric nurse from California. He had previously served as a corpsman and mental health specialist in the Navy and had also previously served in the California Army National Guard as an armor battalion officer. He was known for his sense of humor and also for his ability to hang tough when the training was tough. His experience and demeanor made him a natural leader and role model. Major Eduardo Caraveo was a psychologist from Virginia. He did clinical profiling for the Bureau of Prisons. Despite this, he was a perpetual optimist who always saw the best in everyone. His deep understanding of people uniquely suited him to be a great motivator to help individuals and groups overcome adversity. He was my ally when the troops were tired or frustrated, helping us to move forward as a team. Lieutenant Colonel Juanita Warman was a psychiatric nurse practitioner from Maryland. She volunteered to join our unit immediately following her stateside deployment at Fort Lewis, Washington. Juanita was the kind of officer who knew her M16 rifle just as well as her M9 pistol. As an aside to explain that comment, think of the chatter that happens while civilians go fishing together or perhaps brew beer together. Well, in the military, a lot of bonding happens while shining boots or cleaning weapons. And it was in this context that I realized Juanita had the uncommon ease and skill with her rifle, which is usually the domain of enlisted folk. She always found a way to relate to others with ease. What did all five of these individuals have in common? Obviously, they all chose to serve in the military and were leaders and providers for soldiers in need. But what I also want you to know is that along our erratic pre-deployment path, each of them had more than one opportunity to return to their original unit. Instead, all five of them chose to stay committed to our mission. We served in Afghanistan starting December 2009 and returned home November 2010. Remember how I said that originally we were going to Iraq, but then we split. The change was due to the recognition of underserved mental health needs during the increased activity in southern and western Afghanistan. Therefore, our task was to break up into small teams to serve not only the most personnel, but also those most in need of our services. We had the privilege of working with all branches of the military. Overall, the 40 of us forged ground to support 15,000 troops. We created team hubs in 14 areas of operation. So when we got there, these were the only areas represented. And then when we got there, we were able to help support all the troops in these areas as well. We were all the way into Herat and Farah in the west, to Leatherneck and Kandahar in the south, to Spin Bulbak and even Kabul. From those areas, we were able to provide assistance to soldiers working in even more remote areas. Our teams repeatedly proved their grit and skill. Dedicating ourselves to a meaningful mission was a huge motivator. We were not going to let our comrades' deaths be in vain. We continued to look out for each other while we provided care for the soldiers who wanted to stay in the fight, as the military saying goes. Another military colloquialism is reconnoiter, or to engage in reconnaissance. Translated from French, reconnaître means to know again, and we can apply this concept to Memorial Day. Today or tomorrow, I challenge you to visit a cemetery and linger at a veteran's headstone. Frequently, they are marked with flags for this holiday. Recognize and wonder how they served and the life that individual lost. Most field memorials include a service member's rifle, helmet, dog tags, and boots. Imagine, what would it have been like to walk in their boots? In UU fashion, what were their joys and concerns that they shared, and what were the joys and concerns that they remained deep in their hearts? Alternately, you could consider asking a veteran if they would like to share their story of a departed comrade they knew. Memorial Day shouldn't be the only day for remembering service members who gave their lives for these great United States. Therefore, remember to live your life to the fullest on this day and every day. A privilege we have because of the men and women who have given their lives to service for American principles. Thank you for being here to recognize Memorial Day's true meaning. I am an American soldier. I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit, and I will never leave a fallen comrade.